Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. The word worthy. It's a common word in Christian vocabulary. It's popular in Christian music, singing about the God who is worthy of praise. But it's an interesting word. Worthy. It's got the same root as our English word worth. So if you ask someone, what's it worth to you? What you're asking is, what do you consider an appropriate cost for that thing? And so worthiness has to do with what's appropriate, what something or what someone deserves. Our Lord is worthy of praise because it's appropriate to praise him for what he has done. But in today's epistle reading, Paul encourages us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what does it mean for us to live in a manner that is worthy of the Lord? What's appropriate for us as the children of God? What kind of life deserves the name Christian? I think the first step in answering that question is to recognize what Paul says about the source of our worthiness. Look at verse 9 of today's epistle reading. He says, he has been praying for the Colossians that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, with the result that they walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So Paul's saying that a life worthy of the name Christian starts with knowing God's will. And God's will, simply put, is that people live in forgiveness, being forgiven by him, forgiving those around them. See, we often think about the will of God in ways that are more confusing than they need to be. People are constantly tempted to try and decode God's will for their lives. We like to ask questions like, where does God want me to live? What job does God want me to have? As if those are the most critical factors to understanding the will of God in our lives. We're like a moth to a flame. We're drawn to the hidden will of God, searching for answers that he has not given. The result is that we tend to minimize what we do know for certain, that God desires us to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we'd rather try to figure out God's hidden will, obsessing with which career or spouse or college God expects us to have. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to treat God's will as if our Heavenly Father has a script in his hand, a storyboard in heaven that he's written out our lives. He's predetermined which choices he will bless and which ones he will not. It's not how God's will works. No, God's will for you is that you spend eternity with him in paradise. And in order to accomplish that, he sent his own son to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And that, according to Paul, is the first and most necessary step in walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's knowledge of my sin, revealed to me in the Word of God. That silences any efforts on my part to try to justify or save myself. Because we are all unworthy to earn our own salvation. And knowing that, and trusting that word from God, that's the first ingredient in true worthiness. For every time we confess our sin, we receive that gift of forgiveness. Every time. Because Jesus has already died. Salvation has already been won. You were made right with God when you were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so our worthiness as individuals in the eyes of our Lord, well, that comes to us as a gift, something our Lord has given to us based on what he has done for us. And Paul says that knowing that, believing that our personal worthiness comes as a gift, well, that's the foundation for walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Notice how he describes that walking, this worthy walking in verse 10. He says it consists of being pleasing to God by increasing in knowledge of him, and by bearing fruit in every good work. We've already considered what it means to increase in the knowledge of God. It means to continually return to the knowledge that I am a sinner, that God is my Savior, That knowledge is repentance and forgiveness. It's law and gospel. But what does it mean to bear fruit in every good work? But once again, this question takes us back to the will of God. Because as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. What does it mean that God creates good works in advance for us to walk in? Are we back to some sort of cosmic checklist? No. Paul's writing here about the gift of vocation. When our Lord created this world, he instituted different vocations, callings, roles, relationships, through which he would continue to uphold what he had made. He created the vocations of father and mother, husband and wife, son and daughter, employer, employee, student, teacher, the list goes on and on. And he created these different vocations before any one of us was born. And each of those vocations serves a specific purpose in the world. Each one carries with it specific responsibilities. The good works prepared in advance are the things we're called to do within the vocations God has given us. Are you a father or a mother? Then provide for your children. Raise them in the knowledge of the Lord and of his word. Teach them how to survive in this world, because that's what the vocation of parent was created to do. And when done in faith, these are good works to our Father in heaven. Are you a student? Apply yourself to your studies, that one day you may be a benefit to your family and to the world around you. And when done in faith, that's a good work to the Father in heaven. Are you an employer? Well, treat your employees well. Pay them a fair wage. See to it that the goods or services produced in your company are well made. And when done in faith, that's a good work before the Father in heaven. Changes from vocation to vocation. They differ from each other. But each one has built into it good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in them. And when we do that, we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the name Christian. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is simply to walk in our vocations. To be fully pleasing to God and bearing in every good work is simply to live in the callings God has given us. We don't need to burden ourselves trying to figure out which specific job or which specific company God wants us to be at. Simply use your God-given talents and abilities in service to others. I don't mean to oversimplify it. I don't mean to make it sound like living in our vocations is always easy. We shouldn't ignore the fact that Paul includes a prayer that the Colossians would be strengthened with all power for endurance, for patience. Because endurance and patience are necessary in our vocations and in our Christian life. Because the temptation is always there to look at someone else's vocation, to look at someone else's life, to look at someone else's spouse or someone else's children or someone else's car or career, to desire those things for ourselves. We know all too well our own struggles. We live them every day. But when we look at the people around us, we only see the outward appearance. And so we might be tempted to think we'd be better off than if we were someone else. But our Lord calls us away from the temptation to covet. Instead, we're called to endurance and to patience in the life that God has given. And this, Paul says, is how we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit, by doing the good works built into our vocations, increasing in knowledge of him through the continued study of his word, through which he shows us our need for salvation and gives us that salvation, by living in the gift of baptism, having our sins forgiven in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, feasting on the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our souls, and then stepping out into the vocations we have been given to love and serve God by loving and serving the people he puts in our lives. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That was Paul's prayer for the Colossians, and it's my prayer for us, that we in this place would be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our salvation, the lengths to which he went to redeem us and make us his own, that he would give us that spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that we might walk in a manner worthy of our Lord, fully pleasing to him, living in his gift of forgiveness, and bearing fruit in every good work of our vocations, increasing in the knowledge of our Lord. May we be strengthened for this task by the power of God himself, given to us through his word and sacraments, which give us endurance for our vocations, patience for our vocations, and ultimately, as Paul says, joy in our vocations, as we give thanks to the Father, who qualified us through his forgiveness, and through him we share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has truly delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in this is our worthiness before him. In Jesus' name, amen.